जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कपि जनावल्लभ गिरिवारधारी गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवारधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन चामुना तेरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कपि जनावल्लभ गिरिवारधारी जय कपि जनावल्लभ गिरिवारधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन 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 चामुना तीरा वनचारी चामुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय पंचतत्व 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 जय जय पंचतत्व जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद
जय ओम शिवाय परमहंस परिव्राज के चार्य स्तोत्र सदा श्री श्री मारि स्वयं गए से इस भक्त नंद स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की इस काम भी फाउंडर चार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की कृंद्रा श्रीमद भागवताम की समय गौर भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद
ओम अज्ञानति मिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकां वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगनारघुनाथान्वितं तं सचीवां साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगनललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते कोपेश गोपिका कांता राजकांता नमोस्तु ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 13, The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, verses 1, 2, 3. I'll just read a little bit of the chapter summary before we begin. This chapter describes the dynasty in which the great and learned scholar Janaka was born. This is the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, who is said to have been the son of Ikshvaku. When Maharaj Nimi began performing great sacrifices, he appointed Vasishtha to be chief priest. But Vasishtha refused, for he had already agreed to be priest in performing a yajna for Lord Indra. Vasishtha therefore requested Maharaj Nimi to wait until Lord Indra's sacrifice was finished. But Maharaj Nimi did not wait. He thought, life is very short, so there is no need to wait. He therefore appointed another priest to perform the yajna. Vasishtha was very angry at King Nimi and cursed him, saying, may your body fall down. Cursed in that way, Maharaj Nimi also became very angry, and he retaliated by saying, may your body also fall down. As a result of this cursing and counter-cursing, both of them died. After this incident, Vasishtha took birth again, begotten by Mitra and Varuna, who were agitated by Urvashi. The priests who were engaged in the sacrifice for King Nimi preserved Nimi's body in fragrant chemicals. When the sacrifice was over, the priest prayed for Nimi's life to all the demigods who had come to the arena of yajna. But Maharaj Nimi refused to take birth again in a material body, because he considered the material body obnoxious. The great sages then churned Nimi's body, and as a result of this churning, Janaka was born. And the chapter continues with a list of names of the personalities born in the dynasty. All of these sons were great self-controlled personalities. This completes the list of the entire dynasty. So we'll just read text 1 and 2 before we get to 3. Text 1, Shri Shuka Uvacha Nimirikshvaku Tanayo Vashishtam Avritaritvijam Arabhya Satram Sopyaha Shakrena Prakritosmibho. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, after beginning sacrifices, Maharaj Nimi, the son of Ikshvaku, requested the great sage Vashishtha to take the post of chief priest. At that time, Vashishtha replied, my dear Maharaj Nimi, I have already accepted the same post in a sacrifice begun by Lord Indra. 2. Tam nivartya gamishyami tavan mam pratipalaya tushnimasid grihapati sopindrasya karonmakam. I shall return here after finishing the yagya for Indra. Kindly wait for me until then. Maharaj Nimi remained silent, and Vashishtha began to perform the sacrifice for Lord Indra. Today's verse.
Nimishchalam idam vidvan. Nimishchalam idam vidvan. Satram arapatatmavan. Satram arapatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Nagamadyavata guru. Nimishchalam idam vidvan. Satram mabharatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Nimishchalam idam vidvan. Satram marapatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Namishchalam idam vidvan. Satram marapatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Namishchalam idam vidvan. Satram arapatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Nimishalam idam vidvan. Satram arapatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Nimishchalam idam vidvan. Satram marapatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Nimishchalam idam vidvan. Satram marapatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Nimishchalam idam vidvan. Satram marapatatmavan. Ritvig bhira parastavan. Nagamadyavata guru. Nimihi. Maharaj Nimi. Chalam. Flickering. Subject to end at any moment.
Idam, this, life. Vidvan, being completely aware of this fact. Satram, the sacrifice. Arabhata, inaugurated. Atmavan, self-realized person. Ritvigbhi, by priests. Aparai, other than Vishishta. Tavat, for the time being. Na, not. Agamat, returned. Yavata, so long. Guru, his spiritual master. Vishishta. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Nimi, being a self-realized soul, considered that this life is flickering. Therefore, instead of waiting long for Vishishta, he began performing the sacrifice with other priests. Please repeat. Maharaj Nimi, being a self-realized soul, considered that this life is flickering. Therefore, instead of waiting long for Vishishta, he began performing the sacrifice with other priests. Purport. Chanakya Pandit says, Shariram Kshanavidvamshi Kalpanta Sthayino Gunaha. The duration of one's life in the material world may end at any moment, but if within this life one does something worthy, that qualification is depicted in history eternally. Here is a great personality, Maharaj Nimi, who knew this fact. In the human form of life, one should perform activities in such a way that at the end he goes back home, back to Godhead. This is self-realization. So chapter 13, the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. And we have an interesting conundrum here where the disciple, the king, is requesting the spiritual master to oversee his sacrifice, and the spiritual master is declining and telling him to wait, but the disciple is not waiting. And this will be elaborated more in the upcoming verses, why Vishishta Muni was not willing to wait, and why Maharaj Nimi was not willing to wait, because he considered the life is very flickering. Who knows how long it will take for Vishishta Muni to return. He's going to the heavenly planets after all, where time is expanded. And Maharaj Nimi is prepared already for the sacrifice. He wants to worship the Lord. He decides better we just continue and worship the Lord even without the ideal first choice priest. So Vishishta Muni is going to be upset and curse his disciple. So when I got this verse, I was realizing that last month when I gave class, it was also Vishishta Muni cursing someone. And in September when I gave class last, it was also Vishishta Muni cursing someone. So I was trying to see what is the lesson to be learned here. Vishishta Muni, when we think of Bhagavatam, is not one of the prominent, you know, personalities in Bhagavatam. But somehow, three times in a row, the verse for me has been about Vishishta Muni and cursing. So I thought, we should do a little bit of case study of Vishishta Muni, a little bit of a biographical summary. Who is Vishishta Muni? What are his features? What are his qualities? And what is his history? So fortunately, Srila Prabhupada has given us a nice short summary of Vishishta Muni's life in the first canto. There are several passages in Bhagavatam where all the great personalities throughout the universe, all the great sages, they assemble. So in the first canto, there are two instances of this. And the first time the Vishishta Muni appears on the pages of Bhagavatam is in one such event. Anyone knows what is that event when all the sages gathered together? First canto? Yes. Passing away of Bhishma Dev. All the great personalities from the universe, there's a long list of different sages' names, and they all gathered together to come to support Bhishma Dev in his last times and to hear his instructions and to see the glorious passing away of this great personality who was one of our Mahajans. So in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada gives a little summary of Vishishta Muni. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 196. Vasishtha, the great celebrated sage among the Brahmanas, well known as the Brahmarishi Vasishthadev. He is a prominent figure in both the Ramayana and Mahabharata periods. He celebrated the coronation ceremony of the personality of Godhead, Sri Ram. He was present also on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He could approach all the higher and lower planets, and his name is also connected with the history of Hiranyakashipu. There's a great tension between him and Vishvamitra, who wanted his Kamadhenu, wish-fulfilling cow. Vasishtha Muni refused to spare his Kamadhenu, and for this Vishvamitra killed his 100 sons. As a perfect Brahmana, he tolerated all the taunts of Vishvamitra. Once he tried to commit suicide on account of Vishvamitra's torture, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. He jumped from a hill, but the stones on which he fell became a stack of cotton, and thus he was saved. He jumped into the ocean, but the waves washed him ashore. He jumped into the river, but the river also washed him ashore. Thus all his suicide attempts were unsuccessful. He is also one of the seven rishis and the husband of Arundhati, the famous star. So this is a very brief summary of some of the major events in Vasishtha Muni's life. So as mentioned, he appeared at the passing away of Bhishma Dev, and the next time he appeared was at the soon-to-be passing away of Maharaj Parikshit. So when Maharaj Parikshit was cursed, then he renounced the kingdom, and he went to sit on the bank of the Ganga to leave his body. So that time also, all the great personalities, all the great sages assembled to support him in his last days, and of course, Srimad Bhagavatam was later spoken there. So when I was doing some research about Vasishtha Muni, it was interesting to note that he's actually the great-grandfather of Vyasadev. So Vyasadev's father is Parashara Muni, and I didn't know that Parashara Muni was the grandson of Vasishtha. So these stories, many of them are, there are different versions, so different details are varying in different Puranas. But in one of the descriptions I read, that when I spoke last time in December about Kalmashapada, who was the king who was cursed by Vasishtha to become a Rakshasa. Very briefly, the story was that this king had killed one Rakshasa, and the Rakshasa's brother wanted to get revenge, so he became a cook in the, disguised himself as a cook in the palace of the king, Sodasa, and he served human flesh to Vasishtha, who was the king's guru. So Vasishtha blamed the king for this and cursed him to become a Rakshasa. So later on, that Rakshasa king, he ate one Brahmana who was about to have intercourse with his wife, and the Brahmani cursed him that he wouldn't be able to indulge in sexual intercourse. He would die if he did so. So later on, when the king was relieved from the curse, then Vasishtha Muni, he's the one who impregnated his wife. So some descriptions say that this son was the was Parashara Muni. So very interesting how all these personalities connect. So Vasishtha Muni is also present there at the passing of Maharaj Parikshit for the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by his great-grandson, Shukadeva Goswami. Then the other major famous story about Vasishtha Muni, which Prabhupada refers to here, is his rivalry with Vishvamitra. The other day we heard a little bit about Kartavir Arjuna, and he was killed by Lord Parashuram for stealing the special cow of Jamadagni. So similarly, Vishvamitra also was a king, and he visited the ashram of Vasishtha Muni with his retinue. And Vasishtha Muni, by the power of his Kamadhenu cow, he was able to provide them a full feast. And Vishvamitra was astonished that the sage living in the jungle with nothing, he's able to feed my entire army just, you know, in a few minutes. So he asked Vasishtha Muni for the cow. And Vasishtha Muni said, no, this is my special cow. I need it for my performance of sacrifice. I'm sorry. So Vishvamitra actually tried to take the cow by force. And this was the beginning of the great battle between Vishvamitra and Vasishtha. And Prabhupada says here, in that battle, Vishvamitra killed Vasishtha's 100 sons. And there are other descriptions that actually during the battle, Vasishtha killed Vishvamitra's 100 sons. So there, you know, different accounts of these pastimes are given. But as Prabhupada mentions, the great tension between him and Vishvamitra. And ultimately, Vishvamitra wasn't able to, with all his Kshatriya powers, he was unable to defeat Vishishta Muni, who had spiritual powers. So Vishwamitra decided, okay, I can see that my power as a kshatriya is by far deficient. So he then actually renounced his kingdom, started to perform tapasya to become a Brahma Rishi, Deva Rishi, and he wanted to get as much power as Vishishta, because he could see the Brahminical Deja was higher than his kshatriya prowess. So during Vishwamitra's austerities, he was several times diverted by Indra's plan. You know, Indra often gets insecure when he sees some rishis performing great austerities, and he feels that maybe they're trying to take over my post. So he sent Menaka, the great apsara, to divert Vishwamitra Muni, and Vishwamitra was very much diverted. He fathered Shakuntala from that union. And many, many, many years passed by. He was enjoying with Menaka. Then one day he realized that, well, what have I done? I was doing tapasya to get austerity, to get some spiritual, you know, powers, and I've just wasted it all on this apsara. And then later on, Vishwamitra also was, he cursed sometimes. He would intersent some other disturbances, and Vishwamitra would get angry and curse, or he would use his shakti to, he promoted one king called Shankhu to heaven. That was also because of his rivalry with Vishishta. So in various stages of his tapasya, Vishwamitra was diverted, and he lost his potency, and he had to start all over again. And even it would appear that once he attained his full result of his austerities, became a Brahma Rishi, then he also lost his great competitive spirit against Vishishta Muni. In the Ramayana, we just heard recently two chapters about Lord Ram. Vishwamitra and Vishishta again meet at the palace of Maharaj Dasharath. When Vishwamitra comes to take Lord Ram to the forest, and Dasharath is hesitating, saying Ram is too young, he's not able to do this, then Vishishta Muni, who is also the guru of Dasharath and that whole family, he says, no, don't worry. Vishwamitra is a very powerful sage. He can actually kill the Rakshasas himself, but it'll be good for Ram if he goes. So please, don't worry about Ram. He'll be fully protected. So on Vishishta's urging, then Dasharath Maharaj sends Lord Ram with Vishwamitra. So they're in that pastime, they're cooperating between each other, Vishwamitra and Vishishta Muni. And of course, Vishishta is quite a prominent figure in Ramayana. He was present there when all the Ram and his brothers were born. He was part of that process of inviting the Lord to appear in the family of Maharaj Dasharath. It says he performed all the samskaras for Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. He also taught them. And even after the entire episode when Ram returned to Ayodhya, then Vishishta Muni was the chief priest who actually coronated Lord Ram and placed the crown on his head on the throne. So he was a very prominent personality in Ramayana, as Prabhupada mentions here. And in Krishna's pastimes also, he appears a few times. The Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, all the sages appear there. Vishishta Muni is one of them. Prabhupada says he also appeared on the Battle of Kurukshetra. And later on, he appears also in the 10th canto. So I was trying to understand, how do we understand these personalities like Vishishta Muni, who, on one hand, he seems to have very great association with the Lord. He's the spiritual master of Lord Ramachandra. And he's also had darshan of Krishna. He was present in Krishna's pastimes also. But then he seems to be under influence of some bad qualities also. He's cursing, left, right, and center, it would appear. And each of his curses actually were not for valid reasons. Sometimes we hear, like Narad Muni, he cursed Nalukovara Manigriva, but that was auspicious. But Vishishta Muni's curses were not auspicious. They were products of anger or passion. In the first instance, Prishadra, that was my September class, that this disciple of Vishishta, he was guiding the cows in the Goshala, and because of the darkness, one night a tiger entered, started attacking a cow. So this disciple, he went to save the cow, but because of there was no light, he couldn't distinguish which is the cow and which is the tiger. So he took his sword and struck at what he thought was the tiger, but actually he killed the cow by mistake. And in the morning, when he found out, he was very regretful that I've killed the cow. But Vishishta Muni, you know, rather than understanding that, he cursed him to become Shudra in his next life. So this was also not a very nice curse. Actually, what happened was that Prashadra became pure devotee to the Lord and went back to Godhead, so the curse was nullified fully. In the second instance, he cursed Saudasa because the Rakshasa actually served the meat, but he blamed the king for that without knowing the entire story. So that curse also was not beneficial or, you know, in any way positive. And here also he's going to be cursing his disciple Nimi Maharaj to die. So, you know, it's a little bit hard to understand the minds of these great personalities. On one hand, they have these anarthas, you could say. And the other point in this verse is that he went to Lord Indra because Indra was giving more, it was going to be a more grand sacrifice, grander sacrifice in the heavenly planets. Therefore, he would get better dakshina. So this also is a warning for those priests who perform their brahminical duties in the hope of getting some financial profit. And this is not a proper consideration for a brahmana, where I'll go to get more profit, where I'll go to get better prasadam. One should do one's duty and without being attached to the results. But Vishishta Muni was not showing that quality either. But at the same time, he's the spiritual master of Lord Ram. He's having darshan of Lord Krishna. He's mentioned throughout the pages of Bhagavatam. He's a great sage, very respected. So, you know, it seems to be he's not quite the finished product because he's still struggling with some of these qualities. And same with Vishwamitra. He also, very great personality, very respected sage, but he's also having these issues. So, when I was looking further into this personality of Vishishta Muni, then the next time that he appears in a prominent way is at the eclipse when Lord Krishna went to Kurukshetra to observe the lunar eclipse. We know there's more famous stories. That's when the gopis and Nanda Maharaj all came to visit Krishna again. But also many great sages had gathered there. And Vishishta Muni, of course, is one of them. All the Yadus were there, all the Vrajavasis were there. There are a couple of chapters in Krishna book describing this. Draupadi meets all the queens of Krishna and they talk about Krishna together. And once all those things are over, then the great sages, they approach the Lord. And there's some very nice shlokas. It's the 84th chapter of the 10th canto. So Krishna and Balaram and Vasudeva, all the Yadu kings are present. And they greet these sages very nicely. I'd just like to read a few of the verses that Krishna speaks to those sages. First, they receive them, you know, offer them a place to sit, water, asana, padya, swagata, all those items. Then the Lord speaks. Krishna himself is speaking. Now our lives are indeed successful, for we have obtained life's ultimate goal, the audience of great yoga masters, which even demigods only rarely obtain. How is it that people who are not very austere and who recognize God only in his deity form in the temple can now see you, touch you, inquire from you, bow down to you, and worship your feet, and serve you in other ways? Now Krishna goes on to say, mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage, nor are mere images of earth and stone the true worshipable deities. These purify one only after a long time, but saintly sages purify one immediately upon being seen. Now, very kind of deep philosophical points Krishna is making. So just rivers are not, you know, just bathing in a river is not the goal of visiting a holy place. Neither the demigods controlling fire, the sun, the moon, the stars, nor those in charge of earth, water, ether, air, speech and mind actually remove the sins of their worshippers, who continue to see in terms of dualities. But wise sages destroy one's sins when respectfully served for even a few moments. So the demigods, deities of the demigods, or some lesser holy rivers, not referring to the deities of the Lord or the Ganga and the Yamuna. The Acharyas point out in this section that Krishna is not referring to those deities or to the Ganga or Yamuna. Those are fully spiritual, but other rivers and other deities, they don't purify. But saintly sages purify one immediately upon being seen. Wise sages destroy one's sins when respectfully served for even a few moments. So, of course, we know this. Narottam Das Thakur has also sung about this. And he even goes further. He says, Gangara parasha koile pashyate pavan darshane pavitra karo eitamargun. He's speaking about the pure devotee of the Lord. Just by saying a pure devotee, one can be purified. Darshane pavitra karo. This is your great quality of the pure Vaishnava. Whereas even bathing in the Ganga will take time to purify. So Krishna is saying a similar thing here. And then he speaks a very famous shloka, which many of us may know, and is often quoted. I think Prabhupada even quotes it in Bhagavad Gita. Yasyatma buddhi kuna petri dhatuke swadhi kalatra adishu bhoma ijyadhi yatirta buddhi salile nakarhichij janeshva vigyeshu saeva gokhara. This is 10.84.13. One who identifies his self as the inert body composed of mucus, bile and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies with, feels kinship with, worships, or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. Sa eva gokhara. So this verse could really be unpacked. Each of these items that Krishna lists here are, very, very significant. Kuna petri dhatuke, Prabhupada would translate this as a bag. The body is a bag of mucus, bile, air, different elements, earth, water, fire, air. And one who considers the body the self, he is considered to be ignorant or foolish like a donkey. Yasyatma buddhi kuno petri dhatuke swadhi kalatradishu bhoma yajiti. Bhoma yajiti means, nationalism. My country is great. It looks like we had Republic Day the other day, right, in India. And even on our building, I saw there's an Indian flag flying proudly, the Indian tricolor. This is, nationalism. So Krishna condemns this, that people who are feeling some kinship, some connection, some sense of belonging to this land because their body was born in this country, this is a donkey-like mentality. And in the same spirit, one who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, this is also illusory. Then one who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, or in other words, one who goes to a holy place and simply bathes in the river has darshan, but doesn't hear from the pure devotees who are living in that place. That is a very incomplete pilgrimage. One has to hear from the pure devotees who live in those holy places. Now that will give the actual benefit of visiting a holy place. So Krishna spoke all these very deep verses to the sages. And the Krishna book, Bhagavatam, describes that after they heard these words, the sages were just like dumbstruck. They couldn't even respond. They were just amazed at Krishna's, one, his humility, because Krishna is saying that Krishna is presenting himself just like an ordinary person. How is it that we can have darshan of you? Even demigods can have darshan of you, sages. Krishna is presenting himself as just an ordinary person. And they reflect on this, that this is one of the great mysteries about the Lord, that when he appears on this planet, he does so in a human form. Guru kaputa manusha. Kritavan kila karmani saharamani keshava ati martyani bhagavan guru kaputa manusha. Krishna and Balaram, they appeared apparently as humans, and so mass they perform many superhuman acts. Although they appear to be, two arms, two hands, and like one of us, they could do so many amazing things, even though they appear to be human. They were doing superhuman acts. So the sages are, after they recover from their amazement hearing Krishna's words, then they offer some prayers and they mention these points, that it's so amazing how you're, even your kinsmen, the Vrishnis, the others, they don't realize that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they think you're out of friendship or out of familiarity. They just see you as one of them. But actually, my Lord, you are the Supreme Lord, and you've appeared here, for your own purposes. So there's some nice prayers that they offer to the Lord. In the last verse, they say, today we have directly seen your feet, the source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sins. Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts. But only those who render your wholehearted devotional service, and in this way vanquish the souls covering the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees. So the sages are submitting themselves as the devotees of the Lord. So we don't actually see that previously in all these other stories of Vishvamitra, Vishishta Muni, many of the other sages. We see their power, we see their shakti, we see their austerity, and we see their learning, but we don't see their devotion. But it would appear at this point, when they met Krishna at Kurukshetra and they prayed like this, they heard from Krishna, they prayed to him, and they surrendered to him and asked for pure devotion. So, you know, that seems to be like the turning point where previously they were, you know, great jnanis, but here actually they're becoming Vaishnavas, which is a very significant, when we're talking about Vishishta Muni, when we see that he's becoming a Vaishnava, that becomes a very significant event for us as devotees. Because then we don't think of Vishishta in those terms as a Vaishnava, but here he's surrendering to the Lord. And Briya Bhagavatamrita also, that's, this pastime is referred to and confirmed that then they became devotees of the Lord, all these great sages. So, as if to underscore that, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes also Vishvamitra and Vishishta appear. Does anyone know who is Vishishta Muni or Vishvamitra? I also didn't know, I had to look it up. But anyone knows? Vishishta Muni became... What was he? He was the teacher of Lord Ramchandra. So who was teacher of Lord Chaitanya? Gangadas Pandit. So Vishishta Muni, who was teaching Lord Ram in Treta Yuga, he became Gangadas Pandit in Kali Yuga, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And Vishvamitra, he is the one who took Lord Ram to Mithila to marry Sita. So he arranged Lord Ram's marriage. So who arranged Lord Chaitanya's marriage? Vanamali. Vanamali arranged the first marriage with Lakshmi Priya. So Vishvamitra became Vanamali and Vishishta became Gangadas. So I found this really striking because, you know, we see, okay, they're surrendering to Krishna in, you know, in Dwapara Yuga, but then in Kali Yuga they're becoming associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's actually very, very obvious, it's very solid evidence that they weren't simply saying, let us be your devotees, but they actually incarnated as two of Lord Chaitanya's close associates, Gangadas Pandit and Vanamali Pandit. So much so that during the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya was calling his different devotees and offering benedictions and speaking to them. So when he called Gangadas Pandit, he said, do you remember many years ago you were being persecuted by the Muslim king, and they were coming to, you know, attack you, kill you, imprison you, you know, some kind of torture. Gangadas Pandit was under threat. So he ran away at night from his house with his family, came to the bank of Ganga to try to escape from this attack. And Lord Chaitanya is reminding Gangadas Pandit, do you remember that time? You know, he's sitting on the asan, presenting himself as the Lord. This is the first Mahaprakash Leela. And Gangadas, yes, I remember. And you had no hope. You know, you were in despair because it was middle of the night and there was no boat. Even now, if you go to Ganga in the middle of the night, I don't think you'll find any way to cross. And you were ready to just, again, like, you know, we saw here, Vishishta was trying to commit suicide by jumping in the water. You were going to do that, jump in the water, rather than see your family tortured or, you know, harassed in any way, killed. You were ready to just jump in the Ganga and die. Vishishta Muni seems to have that tendency. But then suddenly a boat appeared. You know who was the boatman? It was I. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, I came as the boatman. This is long before, I think even before Lord Chaitanya was born. You know, this is a previous incident when, you know, Gangadas obviously was a teacher of the Lord. He was much older. So I don't think Lord Chaitanya was even born at this point. But he advented especially to save Gangadas Pandit from this attack. And so the family, they all got on the boat and were taken to safety. And Lord Chaitanya is telling him that I was that boatman who came to save you. And you were ready to offer everything, whatever you had with you. You were so grateful to be saved, you were ready to give me everything. So he called Gangadas Pandit, reminded him of this pastime. So Gangadas Pandit was the teacher whom Jagannath Mishra took Lord Chaitanya to study. And Gangadas Pandit very quickly saw that Nimai was the most intelligent student and you know, he became his favorite pupil. And Lord Chaitanya would regularly defeat all the other students. And he would have just one-on-one philosophical discussions with Gangadas Pandit. Because only Gangadas Pandit was intelligent enough to really understand Nimai's intricate arguments, counter-arguments. Nimai's, you know, he was famous for putting forth some proposition, and no one could defeat it, then he would defeat it, and then no one could, you know, could refute his refutation, then he would re-refute his refutation of his refutation. Like that, he was expert in word jugglery. You know, Vrishishtamuni, as Gangadas Pandit, he was of that caliber, but no one else could actually keep up with Nimai. So, you know, I just felt it was really nice to see how Vrishishtamuni, ultimately, he became a Vaishnava as Gangadas Pandit, close associate of the Lord. He also used to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, and Vishwamitra, who was his great rival in their previous, you know, incarnation, you can say, he also became pure Vaishnava as Vanamali Pandit and his association with the Lord. So similarly, some lessons we can take from that, that in our own devotional lives, you know, we may sometimes slip or have some difficulties. You know, we still have Vishishta, Vishwamitra, they're falling down, they're cursing, losing their potency. But ultimately, they became pure devotees of the Lord. So sometimes also we might be tempted. There are so many allurements of Maya that may try to divert us from Krishna consciousness. But we should be steady and stick to it and, you know, hold on to the lotus feet of the Lord very tightly, not give them up, even if we have some difficulties along the way. And if other Vaishnavas have difficulty also, we shouldn't be too much focused on that or critical. We should try to help others come up if they're struggling, show some compassion, not indulge in gossip about, you know, this one, that one, he fell down, he did this, he did that, which can be a tendency in our society to focus too much on such, you know, fall downs or difficulties that devotees might have. Rather, we should be trying to help them and be thankful and grateful and humble that, you know, we shouldn't also suffer similar fall downs and try to help each other advance in Krishna consciousness. So I think we can take these lessons from Vrishishtamuni's life and Vishwamitra's life. Since we just had these two chapters on Lord Ram, and I think many devotees, it was discussed a little bit, and I know I have some, or had some, hard time understanding how Ram was banished Sita right at the very end. And many devotees, I think, have some concern about that pastime. So when I was researching for today's class also, there was a little explanation of why, one of the reasons why that pastime took place. So after Lakshman had dropped Sita off in the forest and was returning to Ayodhya, Lakshman himself was very bewildered and upset. Said, how is this happening that Ram, you know, he's the Lord of the world, he could destroy the whole universe in a moment. How he has to suffer like this again? Already he had to suffer when Sita was kidnapped by Ravana. Now again he has to suffer separation from his wife. And he was, you know, Lakshman himself was bewildered by this. So if we're a little bit confused, you know, I think it's understandable. So Sumantra is the very close confidential associate of Maharaj Dasharatha and his minister also, and chariot driver. So he was driving the chariot for Lakshman. So he said, well, actually I know I have some explanation for this. And so many, many years ago, he's explaining to Lakshman, this is in the Uttarakhanda of Ramayana, not Kamba Ramayana, not Tulsi Ramayana, this is bona fide Valmiki Ramayana. He's described that when Dasharatha was young and the boys were young, he went to meet Vrishishtamuni, and at that time Durvasa was also staying with Vrishishtamuni. So Dasharatha Maharaj asked Durvasa, can you tell me something about the future of my sons? You know, how will the family go on? How will the dynasty progress? How long will my boys live? How will they be? So at that time, Durvasa Muni said, actually, your son Ram will have to suffer separation from his wife. And the reason was, he gave a background story why that happened. And so the story was that there are many battles between the demigods and the demons. So one such battle, the demons were defeated and they were running away and they took shelter in Bhrigu Muni's ashram. And Bhrigu Muni's wife, she knew, you know, the demons have come, but she protected them. She kept them in the ashram. And the demigods were, you know, trying to find them. So Lord Vishnu also was participating in that battle. So he came to the Bhrigu Muni's ashram and he was very upset that Bhrigu Muni's wife was sheltering the demons. So he actually, with his chakra, chopped off her head. And Bhrigu Muni, when he found out, he was very angry and he cursed Lord Vishnu. He said, just like you because of your killing my wife, I have to suffer separation from my wife. So similarly, you will also suffer separation from your wife. So Sumantra is telling this story to Lakshman, and Vishnu, in the story, Vishnu says, he accepts the curse. He says, okay, I accept your curse. And actually, Bhrigu Muni immediately repents. He said, oh no, what did I do? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have cursed you, my lord. But he said, oh no, it's fine, I accept the curse, and I'll accept this curse in my future incarnation. So when he came as Lord Ram, that he accepted that curse, and that was one of the reasons that Lord Ram had to suffer separation. Well, we understand, ultimately separation is a higher union even than being together, but externally you suffer a separation from Sita Devi. So I never heard this story before. When I was researching about Vashishta, it came up. And since we just heard about Lord Ram, I thought it was relevant to also mention this story. Okay, so thank you all for your attention. I'd like to end unless we have some questions, comments.
Thank you, Trudy. So in case of Vashishtha Muni, is there any account that when this pastime took place, this incident took place?
Which one?
Which is mentioned here. Before he was the spiritual master of Lord Ram, or in Satyug, Treta Yug, or Dwapara Yug, before meeting them, maybe?
Well, this is not Satyug, because we're getting to the end of the ninth canto, which, Krishna's pastimes will start. So it's definitely not Satyuga. We already passed Lord Ram. This is actually just after Lord Ram, so... Oh no, it's, wait a second. No, son of Ikshvaku, no? I'm not sure if this version has the table. Oh, it does. Dynasty of Nimi. Vivaswan Shradadev Manu Ikshvaku Nimi. Then Janaka. Yeah, to be honest, I'm not sure which yuga this is. I was thinking it must not be Sati Yuga, because Lord Rama has already been mentioned. But I think they've gone back now in the dynasty.
Maybe a possibility that he was cursing before he met Lord Rama or Lord Krishna and became...
Oh, definitely before he met Lord Krishna, because that was the end of Dwapara Yuga. And this happened much earlier. Maharaj Nimi appears later in the 11th canto. The Yogendras are giving him spiritual instruction. Definitely before he met Krishna. It's only after he met Krishna and that exchange at Kurukshetra that he actually prayed for pure devotion and evidently became a pure devotee by incarnating in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Gangadas Pandit.
It is the pastime that you narrated just now about Lord Ram and Lord Vishnu being cursed. When I hear stories like this, I often wonder that what was the fault of Mother Sita? Okay, Lord was cursed, but because she had to, both had to suffer, but she had to suffer seems more.
Some of these pastimes are a little bit hard to comprehend. I have some vague memory there is some similar story for Sita, but I can't refer to it. The thing is, when we see with our external vision, it looks like there's separation and suffering. Even when we look at the gopis, it seems that they're suffering when Krishna leaves them. But Acharyas explained that separation is a higher absorption in the Lord, even than when they're present in front of the Lord. So I think we have to see it from that perspective. Though externally it looks like it's harsh, and there's a lot of suffering involved. I think that'll be a better way to look at these kinds of pastimes. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Ki, Krishna Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi.